goes like this. And this is Paul writing to them. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are in Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen me, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. So I would like to be released to go downstairs. Please go. Go ahead. And for the rest of us, we will be in waiting worship, and I will close at around noon.
Paul writes to encourage the hearts of the Colossians, knowing that they have been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I began with that verse in my considerations this week because it was connected, it was related, it had many of the same words to the passage that I shared with you last week from Romans 11, which speaks of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. And I felt like there was much more to say about wisdom and knowledge and what those words mean in the Greek. Sophia and gnosis, and where those come from, and the different ways that they've been understood, and the difference between them, and the way that they work together, and the way that we need both, and we can't have one without the other if you're going to know what is in God's heart. And so I started reading and studying, and I came up with dust. I didn't come up with anything that had life in it. And then I remembered one of the things that I was trying to remind us all of last week, which is that our faith as friends is experiential faith. We don't know because we've read it in a book. We don't know because someone else has told us. We don't know even by careful study and perception of an abstract truth that exists in the ether, which is the way that a lot of the Greeks understood truth. Our faith is knowledge from experience. Our faith is knowledge that comes from what we have heard and seen and touched and tasted. And sometimes these things are without, and sometimes these things are within. So all that I want to say today is what I know. And leave the dust out of it, I hope. What I know is that God is love. There can be no other possible way to explain a God who would speak a world into being and desire so deep a connection with all of the creatures of that world that God refused to turn away, even when the ones that he had created, men and women, turned away from God's presence. God is love in the way that God has sought through the centuries to renew the fellowship that was there in the beginning. There are probably more ways than we even know that God has attempted to renew that fellowship with us. Certainly in the history of the Hebrew people and in the law. Unquestionably in the person and the presence of Christ Jesus, present in history and also present here in our midst as the seed in each of our hearts. There is no other motive for that presence in history and in our hearts than love. Jesus, even though he was in his very nature God, equal to God in all respects, did not consider that equality something to be jealously grasped after and held on to, but willingly poured himself into human form and became like unto a slave and was willing to die because of love. Not because of anger, not because of righteousness, not even because of justice, friends, but because of love. And so the Jesus that is present in history and the Christ who is present here in each of us calls to us in love, seeks to renew the fellowship that was ours in the beginning, that was humanity's with God in the beginning, through his willingness to die, and in the victory over death of the resurrection. And I know this because I know the story, but I know it also within myself, that when I have turned away from God because of my own desires, because of lust or pride or selfishness or any one of the other besetting sins that can so easily entangle me, when I come to the end of that, when I tire of that, and I repent, I turn back towards God, God is love. And so then, having received that forgiveness, having, as Paul says, received Christ Jesus, I know that I need to walk. To walk in Christ. To set each step ahead of the next, no matter how halting, no matter how quickly I may desire to turn aside, no matter how foggy the way is ahead of me and how unclear I am on the path, I know that I am to walk, And I know that as I walk, the way will become clearer, perhaps not in front of me, but certainly I can see more clearly where I have been. And I can give thanks that I am no longer in the places that I was, but that God is calling me onwards. The last piece that I know is that I don't walk by myself. I walk with each one of you as we each turn our paths into the ways of trust and righteousness and justice, agreed upon a common destination, agreed that we will accompany one another in the peaceful reign of God. And agreed that just as we are guided, each one of us, by the inward presence of Christ, that we also can offer one another guidance, that we can offer one another direction, that we can offer a hand up when one of us has stumbled. I know that God is love. I know that I am called to walk. I know that I walk with you. And for this, I give thanks.